Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I formally declare this meeting open. Can I ask that you all please stand for the opening prayer? Almighty God, we seek your blessing and guidance in our deliberations on behalf of the people of the Colac Otway Shire. Enable this council's decisions to be those that contribute to the true welfare and betterment of our community. Amen. Thank you. Can I ask that council staff recall all those present today? I've received a request for a leave of absence from Councillor Joe McCracken. Councillors, we have a recommendation before us to grant Councillor McCracken a leave of absence for this meeting. Do I have a mover? Move Councillor Hart, seconded Councillor Potter. Is it opposed? No. All those in favour? Carried 6-0. Thank you. I'd like to start this afternoon by acknowledging the traditional custodians and lawmakers of this land, their elders past and present, and welcome any descendants here today. I'd like to advise that all council meetings are audio recorded and live streamed, with the exception of confidential matters. To enhance audio quality, councillors and officers are asked to remain seated when addressing this meeting. In response to the COVID-19 pandemic, and in accordance with the Stay Safe and Restricted Activities directions issued by the Chief Health Officer of Victoria that are currently in place, only councillors and council staff are permitted to attend this council meeting. Audio recordings of meetings are taken to facilitate the preparation of the minutes of open council and committee meetings and to ensure their accuracy. In some circumstances, a recording will be disclosed to a third party. Those circumstances include, but are not limited to, circumstances such as where council is compelled to disclose an audio recording because it is required by law, such as the Freedom of Information Act 1982, or by court order, warrant, or subpoena, or to assist in an investigation undertaken by the Ombudsman or the Independent Broad-Based Anti-Corruption Commission. Council will not use or disclose the recordings for any other purpose. It is an offence to make an unauthorised recording of the meeting. The sole purpose of the special committee meeting is to consider submissions to the draft budget 2020-2021. Declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest, please? No. Confirmation of minutes. I propose that we move to confirm the minutes from the special committee meeting held on the 12th of June 2019. Do I have a mover? Move Councillor Hart. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Potter. Is it to be opposed? No. Now put it to a vote. All those in favour? It's carried 6-0. Thank you, councillors. And now move to verbal submissions from applicants. Council have received a request to be heard this afternoon from 8 people. In accordance with our local law, a time limit of 5 minutes applies to each person. So item 8.1, consideration of the 2020-2021 draft budget public submissions. Or confirm whether people are here or not. I can't see them. Okay, we'll go to number one. If Mr. James Judd is present, we'll call him forward. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Judd. If you just push the silver big button there until some red lights come on and we can hear your submission. Thank you.
Well, since the Caldecott West Shire Council has long claimed it does not know what the pensioner rebate on eligible properties will be before the state budget is brought down, when this is supposed to vary each year in accordance with a state set inflation rate that is not the same as the national inflation rate, what provision has been made in Council's 2020-21 budget if the government rebate is not the same as allowed on Council's issued rate notices? Since the payment of the first instalment of rates and charges will be fall due weeks prior to the introduction of the state budget for 2020-21, when only a valid amount can be demanded is paid.
Thank you for your submission, Mr. Judd.
That's all.
Thank you. Appreciate your time here today, Mr. Judd. We'll now ask if Lynn Russell is here, available. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, councillors and staff. On my verbal presentation, I'm responding to the officer's report that came back and to respond to my submission. They said that it was an inappropriate and created a narrowly defined and specifically applied rating categories. Well, Colac Otway Shire already does this when they do the holiday rental. So it's already been done. And I looked at, when I was doing my research, the Golden Plains categories, and which there is five for farming rates, because not all farmers are the same. One rate does not fit everyone. In theirs, they have a broad farmland broadacre, which is for over 40 hectares, which includes grazing, dairying, pig farming, poultry farming, very, very specific. It says that the business must be used or has a significant or substantial commercial purpose or character. It seeks to make a profit. It is very descriptive. You go over to the second one and it is farmland of less than 40 hectares. Then you go on to non-farmland, vacant land, and that's one I know one of the councillors has been very interested in previously, and that is for, it is not used primarily for residential, commercial or industrial, but it does not have the characteristics of farmland. It is a different rate again. Then you come down and you have vacant land which is cannot be developed. And then you have land for intensive farming. So they have classified five different farming rates. They are specific and they are defined. And we, as a council, can do that in our rates as well. So that not every farm fits one farming category. So it should be divided. And if we look at the Golden Plains, they also have a different rate for different farming. And that's what I would like to see. I had quite a few phone calls supporting what I had talked about. And one of the things was a young man who rang me, and he's the second son of a farming family. Both he and his brother want to be a farm, but with this in the mind, they've been looking at another farm within the Colac Otway Shire, which is close to their home. Two farms that became available but have been sold at exorbitant prices, his words, that make them unavailable for local farmers. First farm was sold, and this is what really gets up his nose, to a farming corporation from another shire, not Colac Otway, and it is well above the Hamilton Highway. And it's being used to fatten sheep and cattle before it goes to market. The house is now falling down because it's unoccupied. They only have fodder in the hay shed, and they use the race. The dairy is no longer being used, and it is just closed. The problem is the fences needed upgrading because cattle had got out. As a good neighbour, they put them back, notified the manager because they have never met the owners, and the fencing contractor came from the same shire, not Colac Otway. They didn't spend money here. They came, they brought a caravan, they stayed in the caravan and did attend the pub a couple of times to have meals. The manager comes maybe once a week if there's no animals there, and maybe two to three times if there is animals on the property. The animals are carted to the property in a way, not from Colac Otway Shire cartages. It's from another shire. His problem is they don't spend money in Colac Otway Shire. Profits are spent in the shire from which they came. They don't employ anybody from Colac Otway Shire. So this young man's question is, and I've told him I would ask it, why can't this corporation support local farmers by paying a little more in their rates? And this is the ideal answer to what he has asked. And that's it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate your time. Thank you. Thank you. We'll now call on Robert Shoebridge, if we could ask him if he's available. Thank you. Thank you, Robert. Just press the silver button there. You've got 5 minutes. Thank you.
I believe the Colac Otway Shire should not have an increase in rate for its residents and businesses for the coming year. Since amalgamation of the City of Colac and the Shires of Colac and Otway, rate increases were well above the inflation rate almost every year. Increases were mainly due to the more than doubling the number of council office staff over this period and virtually no increase in population of the Shire of Colac Otway. Now almost all the rates go to paying wages, not services. At the time of amalgamation, Colac Otway Shire rates were one of the lowest in rural Victoria, reflecting the low socioeconomic position of the population. Consecutive council rate rises have made our rates one of the highest in the state, in spite of the population remaining poor. The current council, to its credit, kept rates down to 0.5% this past financial year, reining in costs. Excellent start to redress the continual wage costs. The beginning should be built through the council choosing not to raise rates this year to make Colac Otway a more affordable place to live and work. The other reason for not raising rates this year is due to the effect of COVID-19 virus. The timber industry has its production more than halved with the corresponding layoff of staff due to virus-induced downturn in the building industry. Tourism is a major income earner for the Shire, particularly south of Colac. International visitor numbers are well down due to bushfires throughout eastern and southern Australia. One of the businesses, I could vouch for it, and it hampered income for many tourist operators during the summer. Shutdown caused by COVID-19 has further reduced or extinguished income, and many businesses struggle to cover costs. Retrenched staff has further reduced the amount of money spent on the Shire, affecting local shops and service providers. This is not a time for the Shire of Colac to increase rates to add to living and business costs. I think COVID-19 is here for at least a couple more years, and I understand the Shire is looking at having some funds to deal with the COVID problems. However, I think it's the best way of actually helping the population at large is not to raise rates, and everybody gets a little bit, and there's no admin costs. Thank you.
Thank you for your time and your submission, Robert. Appreciate it. Thank you. If we could now ask to see if Simon Arundel is available. Thank you. Thank you, Simon.
Simon Arundel Bungador, I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity. I am totally opposed to this rate increase, and I refer to the Colac Herald, where it says that you want to collect this money so you can hand it out to businesses to help them get through this virus crisis. That is nothing more than a knee-jerk, feel-good reaction from this Shire. It will achieve very little, just a couple of weeks, and the money's gone. I believe this Shire should set a trend for the whole of this country. We have forgotten what health is and what cleanliness is, and we fail in so many ways. I just used the toilet here. I used the urinal. I had to open the door. I went out and washed my hands because I'm a good boy. And what do? I got to open the door. There shouldn't be a final door at the very least. There should be a partition out in that big room, so people can't see in. I don't care what they see, but they might like it. But you see this in toilets all over Australia. You go in there, there's the tap. It hasn't been washed for 40 years. It should be either a lever or foot operated or electronically operated. You shouldn't have to touch that tap. But then you wash your hands, and on the wall nowadays, they've stuck these things to dry your hands. I call them a sandwich maker. Or perhaps they're trying to test you for your alcohol content. And you've got to stand there, trying not to touch the steel plates. Go back to the old blower that just blows. But then you turn around and there's another damn door. Now, doors should all have either lever action at the very least. I just tried to use the toilet at Colac East. It's a round knob. I needed a pair of Stilsons to get a grip of it. And then there's another one on the inside. You go to these toilets, I will give you credit, you've got a hook behind the door. But hell, we could put two or three there. I brought this up in hospitals all over Melbourne while my wife went through there very sick. I got all sorts of excuses. One was, oh, people might hang themselves. Or perhaps we should just let them hang themselves and the rest of us can get on with life. It's a bad thing, but they'll find a tree if they haven't got a knob in the toilet. So we need to look at everything we touch. You walk into a shop and they've got streamers hanging down. Stephen's just wiped his ice cream across one side and his mate's rubbed his dirty hands down the other. And you're meant to push these things aside while you try to get into the shop. They shouldn't be allowed. A classic example of a shop that's spreading disease is the post office in Peter Street in Grovedale. They have a sliding door. You can hardly get a grip of the little thing. You're meant to open it and close it. It's a population of elderly people. How many have caught the flu and God knows what from that door? I don't shut the damn thing. So they need to eliminate points of contact. That's what this Shire should drive out, an elimination of points of contact policy. And then the rest of the state might listen to you. The rest of the country might listen to you, and you might actually do something for industry, not for a couple of weeks, but with luck, for, say, decades. That's what you ought to do. Nice and simple, like my name suggests, Simple Simon. Don't have to spend any money, you get the pie for nothing. And simplicity is the answer to all our involved problems, because we don't have the guts to look at what the problem was in the first place. So I suggest you leave the rates alone. You're only going to put up all the households in Colac like $30 at least. Mine will go up $210, thank you very much. Other properties will go up more. I wonder what Buller's going to go up. And it really helps the industry, doesn't it? You raid his shop, you raid his house, and then you give him a little check back after a lot of costs distributing the checks. Now, if you do go ahead with this policy, I want to know who gets the money, how much, and why. Now, I suggest really think about it. Bring in an elimination of points of contact, and you might do something for the whole country, not just this little 2-month feel-good Band-Aid. I feel I've said enough. Really do think about it, because no one else is saying it. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your time and submission here tonight, Mr. Arundel. If we can now call on Lee Barrett, if he's available. Thank you, Lee, for your time tonight. You've just got 5 minutes whenever you're ready. And I think the microphone's already on. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On page 4 of the draft budget, executive summary, it says, Council is now operating with an environment where revenue is restricted due to rate capping imposed by the state government, creating a permanent impact on council reserves. Our Shire Corporation still resents the fact that the state government stepped in to restrict the practice of their annual gouging of the community with 6-9% rate rises. And we can't forget in 2014 the 376 ratepayers on the edge of town who were blindsided with a rate rise of 15-25%. Resentment is at the heart of the culture of the Colac Otway Shire Corporation. It resents the discipline of the state government that created it by an act of parliament. The created resents the creator. Two items stood out to me in the transition to the new act: a strong local democracy and a new relationship. How can the Shire Corporation encourage development of a strong local democracy when it hates it? And the only way to have a new relationship, I'm assuming it is between council and the community, is you evaluate the present relationship. As it still resents rate capping after 5 years, how can it be trusted with the responsibility of the Transition to Local Government Act 2020? I've come to the conclusion, after taking an active interest in our local government for the past 6 years, the Shire Corporation has an antisocial culture and is a corrupting influence in the Colac Otway community. An antisocial culture is about separation from and resenting mainstream society. The priorities of the Shire Corporation are 1, the corporation; 2, employee salaries and benefits; 3, the state government; 4, ratepayers in the community who get what's left over. The Shire Corporation's understanding is that it is entitled to the $30 million claimed in the draft budget, whereas it is entrusted. Given in trust for its most effective use and benefit to the community. You think your role is to rule, to make the community abide by your rules when there are times you don't keep your own. Your true role is to serve the public interest, but you see the role of serving as a weakness, whereas the community understands that it is of all behaviours most noble. Antisocial behaviour is self-serving and selfish. As intelligent and educated people, you should know better. A corrupting influence. The Bluewater Independent Report was withheld for 3 years on the grounds that legal action was being taken about the failed stadium floor. The only time the stadium floor was mentioned is to state that it is excluded from the report. $500,000 on legal fees was spent attempting to blame other parties for the failure of the first floor, which was a symptom of the problem of the substandard preparation of the site, not the cause, in an attempt to deflect responsibility from council staff who were project managers. This failed. The CEO's refusal to apologise for council's awful performance in Bluewater and refused to acknowledge any liability for the $1.5 million costs of the upgrade to the stadium floor site, the floor replacement and legal costs is like papering over a large hole on a footpath. People and organisations who refuse to admit mistakes and refuse to apologise offer an apology offer an apology when appropriate are a danger to themselves and those around them. It is my view that the culture within in the Shire Corporation is on a par with the banks before the Royal Commission, and it needs a similar public inquiry. I appeal to the Mayor, as a civic leader of our Shire, to make a formal request to the Local Government Minister's Office for supervision and oversight of the Transition to Local Government Act 2020 process, because I believe the majority of the community has lost faith in our Shire Corporation to have any motivation to improve their performance, openness, accountability, or to have any reasonable working relationship with the community. We cannot move forward until we have dealt with the past. To start a new relationship, we need a process similar to South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation, where there is an amnesty, and anyone who has a grievance, has suffered injury, not physical injury, or loss and is dealing with the Shire, members of the public and past or current employees are invited to tell their story. There may be some other employees, past or present, who want to relieve their conscience. Complete honesty is required and no legal action is taken. Until there is a complete clearing of the decks, we will continue with a poor relationship and poor outcomes. The community has the right to, and is entitled to, good local government that will work with the community with an attitude of goodwill, will work to earn our respect, and will at all times act in a trustworthy manner. If anyone is not prepared to commit to these principles, then they should move on. It is time to leave.
Thank you for your time and your submission here. Appreciate it, Lou. If we can now call in Yolande McConville. Thank you. Thanks, Yolande.
Hi, Council.
Just, when you're ready, the microphone's on. You've got 5 minutes. Thank you.
So hold.
No, I think it was already on.
Okay, sorry. I just want to share with you some of the people who signed the petition, their comments on your proposal of the rate increase. I receive very little in return for $2,000 of rates. My gravel roads are corrugated, floods in the winter, and when graded, returns to corrugation very soon after. Asking for some gravel on the road is like asking for gold. It's time to cut wages bill and use the money for ratepayers' needs. Rates are already high. They don't need these hikes. The rates are already excessive for a country town. Considering we're in the middle of a pandemic, no increase should be considered. I've moved here to Colac Otway from Sydney 5 years ago. I was starry-eyed and I was very, very excited to be a contributing member of a country town. Since then, I've become disillusioned by talking to people in the community and understanding just how bad people perceive the relationship to be with Colac Otway Shire. I do not believe, or I'm not confident, that my submission will have been fully read and understood. So I'm going to read my submission at this point in time. It's of great disappointment that I note that the council is once again planning a rate increase for this year to come. I find it reprehensible that it is even possible to allow this to happen given the following. One, Colac Otway residents are paying one of the highest residential rates in the state at 38 cents in the dollar. The Colac Main Street seems to be losing businesses on a daily basis with open shopfront windows every second window. Farmers are hit with reduced trade to China due to sanctions and low milk prices. Residents who are generally doing it tough, being in a low socioeconomic area, are especially struggling currently with the Colac Otway Shire being one of the hardest hit during the COVID crisis, with more to come as we're currently seeing with the announcements over the last 2 days. Everyone is doing it tough. However, the majority of people I've spoken to feel that that's with the exception of Caldecott Way and its workers. How is it that the wage increase is proposed to go ahead for employees on an average wage of $90,000 per year? To add insult to injury, a number of councils in the state have announced a freeze on both rates and wages. This when so many people in our council area have lost their jobs. It would certainly seem to me that we're not all in this together. This went, attached to this is my submission is the petition, which you're all free to read. I found it telling, if not alarming, that so many individuals declined to add a signature with the simple reason given that they have fear of retribution for their businesses, for building permits, etc., from council. I've spoken to a number of people in relation to this proposed rate increase over the last 3 years since I've become aware of it. What made a big impression on me was no one seemed to know that there was another rate increase on the way, which indicates to me that council is not getting its messages out there and it's not connecting with the community. When they found out that this increase was coupled with yet another wage rise as well, they were particularly incensed. I did not speak to a single person that felt the rate increase should continue. Based on the prior mentioned conversations, it is my strong belief that this petition would have been substantially larger had it not been for the limit of my time and for fear of council. Should councillors go ahead and again vote for this 1.5% increase, they show that they're not only out of touch with the community that they're supporting and that voted for them, but that their mindset is simply self-indulgent. The community at large seems to fear speaking their mind to council. It feels ignored, take it for granted, and I feel that it is time to be better. We want to connect with council. We want to be involved as a community. And I will certainly be looking forward to driving a project leading that over the next few years. So you'll probably see me a few times. And given the above reason, we feel that it is council's responsibility to vote for a 0% increase, but possibly even a decrease to rates, and to freeze any wage increases effective immediately. This will create an opportunity for an improved relationship with the community who fund it. I request the right to be heard, and thank you for hearing me. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Shalandi. I appreciate your time given tonight to come in for your submission. Now, call in Alan Billing, if he's available. Thank you. Thank you, Alan, for coming in tonight. So you've got 5 minutes. You just push that. Oh, somebody will push it for you. There you go. So whenever you're ready, thanks.
Thank you for that. You don't need a name. You obviously know I'm here. Yeah. Look, first of all, thanks for the opportunity to give a verbal submission, plus I assume you've received the written. Is it possible that all councillors have received the written submissions of all those that have been put in, or is it only an officer summary? Thank you. I just would like to make a particular notice or make note of the fact that of the 24 submissions that have been put in by the agenda, there's only two of those that actually supported a rate increase. Certainly there were people that were wanting more money spent, which is part of our problem, I suspect. There's always somebody wants something. However, that's a fairly, of the 24 submissions, that's a fairly low support for what you are proposing with the draft budget. I'd also like to note, and it wasn't picked up by Bob Shoebridge, is that part of Bob's presentation or submission was submission from the Collie-Otway Ratepayers Association. That submission was supported by 175 signatories, all opposing the rate increase. I noticed that the officers in their review had completely ignored that, which I find interesting. I was interested to read the officer's summary of the written submissions. Found them quite disappointing and predictable and largely full of spin. The officers make multiple reference to council's financial sustainability, but no reference to the financial sustainability of the ratepayers. We're all presumably in this together. Any critique of the 2021 draft budget must have regard for the circumstances we are in currently. The Prime Minister tells us we are facing the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. That's something I can't remember, fortunately. And the Otway region is one of the worst affected areas in Victoria. Large local businesses are making significant cuts to the staff numbers and salaries, and smaller businesses are not exactly sure whether they can survive. But it's business as usual for the Colac Shire. Nothing seems to change. The common message during this crisis has been, we are all in this together, but not Colac Otway Shire. The empire building continues. Council is clearly out of touch. Its actions are devoid of sensitivity and empathy for what its community is currently going through and the unknowns it is facing. Despite that, Council appears incapable of doing what is required and adjust its business to manage without an increased burden on the community. The message is clear. Manage with no rate increase. Council's response to what is happening is disappointing. A rate increase 300% greater than the rate increase last year. Council allowances to increase by 2%. Staff salaries to increase. Now I note the comment from the officers that the staff, the council allowances and the staff salaries are part of an agreement. I understand that. The agreements were made in very different times. And whilst other parts of the community are having to adapt and adjust, it doesn't appear as though that's going to be the case with Colac Otway Shire. And in addition to that, council had an agreement with the rural farm ratepayers to reduce the differential by 2%, which they've walked away from. So clearly, if you can walk away from one agreement there, there is a reasonable reason for walking away for other agreements, given the circumstances. The proposed community support fund. It's presented with no detail, just an implied, trust us, we will get it right. Previous submitters tonight have indicated just where the council sits in relation to its community in terms of its separation and lack of connect. I guess the question is then, how can the community of Colac trust this council to get anything right? Council over a number of years has presided over multiple financial fiascos, costing the community hundreds of thousands of dollars. An $800,000 hardware store kept empty and losing tens of thousands of dollars a year in revenue. A blue water redevelopment, an $8 million project that has cost the community closer to $14 million, and the ceilings falling in. A radio communication contract disaster, cost blowouts and inadequate works in kindergartens, the Pirinellic sports ground upgrade, they're on and on and on. Does the community trust Colac Shire to take an extra $433,000 in rates from the pockets of ratepayers? facing uncertain times and apply it efficiently and effectively into a community support fund. I'm not sure if you were to go out and talk amongst the community, the confidence would necessarily be there. So thank you for the opportunity to present. I will certainly be interested when council looks at the final budget to see how council take that situation. Some of you would know I've previously been in the position of having to vote for rate rises and know the difficulties that you all face. But for goodness sake, recognise where we are at the moment, unknown situation, and everybody across the community is having to tighten their belts and do things differently. Colac Otway Shire should do the same. Thank you.
Thanks for your time in this meeting tonight. I appreciate it. Thank you. Can I just find out if Arnold Rowntree is...
No, he's not.
He's not here. Okay. We now have, that's the end of our submitters that have turned up tonight. We now have questions of officers. Are there any questions relating to any of the submissions? Councillor Hanson.
This is probably a bit of a silly question, but would there ever be any retribution to anybody for signing a petition from council officers? I mean, that statement was made. I thought it was a bit outrageous, but I just wanted to know whether anything like that has ever gone on in the past to make anybody think that.
I'll get the CEO to answer on behalf of the organisation anyway.
In my experience in local government, no. It's something that I certainly wouldn't tolerate, and there'd be severe retribution for anybody that wanted to play that sort of game. It is a clear principle of the council that council organisation that I administer, that we treat each issue on its merits, and we encourage people to make comments about different things.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Councillor Hart.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. My question was in relation to the pensioner rate rebate issue that was raised, and how I understood the issue was that the exact amount of the rate rebate may not be known at the time the rates notices are issued. So how will that be worked out in terms of setting out the rates notice and the first instalment in particular? Perhaps I may not have understood the issue.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, and Councillor Hart, I think I understood the issue perfectly well. I think when the draft budget was prepared, we weren't aware what the pensioner concession would be in terms of much. We knew it would be increased by the rate of inflation, but we were awaiting the announcement from the government as to what the increase was going to be. We've now got that. So the concession will be granted a correct amount when we issue the rate notices for 2020-21.
Thank you. Are there any other questions of officers? I just had one in a submission that wasn't verbal, but it was a written submission into the long distance horse riding trail. Is that something that could come under the grant system? I just couldn't quite understand what they were asking for, to be honest.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, our economic development team are going to support that request. We've been talking with Surf Coast Shire for quite some time, so we've got some money in our budget to support that anyway.
Oh, okay, and just to be clear, the submission's wanting $30,000 or $40,000 for the Apollo Bay tennis courts has been allocated with the federal funding $1.7 million list that was passed by council?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, on behalf of the other officers, yes, that's correct. Yeah, we're just waiting to hear back from the federal government, but yes.
Okay, any other questions of officers? No. In that case, we have a recommendation before us. Councillors, on page 6 of the PDF agenda, to that council acknowledges and notes the verbal comments made in support of written submissions, receives and notes the written submissions, and refers all submissions for further consideration to the council meeting to be held on Wednesday, the 22nd July 2020, as part of council's deliberations in the adoption of the 2020-21 budget. Do we have a mover? Councillor Hanson, is it to be seconded? Councillor Potter, is it to be opposed? No, I'll allow discussion. Councillor Hanson, if you have anything to say, thank you.
I would like to thank the people that made submissions to the budget, and particularly those, a lot of people have made written submissions, and also some people were able to come here today and speak. I know they're quite trying conditions, but, thank you to the people that have come here. It's now Council's job to listen to those submissions. Thankfully, some of the submissions have been able to be addressed, which is really positive. It's certainly going to be one of the toughest budgets, I think, that we've ever had to face. My short time on Council, and I imagine the long-term councils have probably never seen anything like it. It's really a balancing act, and these are the things that we have to think about. We know that there's people in the community that are really doing it tough, and then even those businesses even those people that aren't financially being impacted. I think our community is even doing it. It's a really trying time mentally as well for everybody. So council has a big role to play in that, and so it's been positive that, for example, we've been able to open up council facilities that are really good for your mental health and well-being. Those facilities cost money, and we need to juggle all that, how we make things work. Shutting facilities for a couple of months has certainly cost the council, and so it's going to be a difficult budget to weigh up the submissions that people have made. They've certainly made some, very good arguments for a 0% rate increase. But, that's something that we have to really have a good think about as councillors.
Thank you. Councillor Potter as the seconder.
Thanks, Mayor. I'd just like to endorse what Councillor Hanson said. No need for me to go back over that. One thing I did I took a few things out of the submissions tonight, but one thing that stood out was the apparent lack of information of what might be in the stimulus package or the ratepayers' assistance. And I think, that will be widely discussed during our budget discussions in a couple of weeks. And I think there's a lot of positives in that, and that it needs to be balanced against a rate rise, no rate rise, and what we can do for the community. And that's the balancing act that councillors face. I look forward to that discussion. I don't know whether it's possible for some of those details to be publicised or not, but I hope everyone pays attention to all the discussion during the budget.
Thank you. Any other councillors wish to speak? Councillor Smith, thank you.
I guess I'll perhaps disagree with Councillor Hanson with regards to the difficulty or the easiness of this budget. I actually believe this is one of the easiest budgets Council's dealt with in my term on Council. Easiest because we don't have any major huge... I know we've got the virus, and that's pretty huge, but we've got no significant issues that are facing Council that are outside us with regards to financial scenarios. In fact, we're actually seeing with the virus that our business is actually probably being advantaged, dare I say it, by the virus. We've just seen $1.7 million come to the community as a result of the virus. Does that help the average ratepayer? Not as far as paying their rates. Yes, it will create a few extra things, which is fantastic, and I applaud the federal government for giving it to us, but it doesn't actually help a ratepayer in their personal budget. It doesn't help a business in how they operate. This is an easy budget in the fact that all council needs to do is to adopt a 0% rate rise, not increase our wages, keep them static, and look at a few things. And I know I'm making it very simplistic, but it is quite an easy budget in that regard. When we look at the state for our businesses, as different submitters presented, I'd like to show my appreciation for those who submitted some excellent comments there that I just hope councils will listen to. When you think of the mums and dad families paying their rates, when you think of businesses paying their rates, while there is the odd business is actually booming at the moment because of the virus, majority of businesses are doing extremely tough. Many have gone to the wall or are going to the wall. The agricultural sector is heading to be on its knees, and you look right across the board, and what is council doing? Still rising rates way beyond what we should be doing. We should be opting for a 0% rate rise or maybe a rate decrease. Should be instead of just allowing our total wages bill to increase all the time, we should be reining that in and doing the right thing by our community. So for me, this is actually a very easy budget, and council should be doing the right thing. I suspect we'll see something different in a fortnight's time. We'll see what happens then, but I'm sure the community will be watching as to what this council will do. Will we continue to take a significant amount of money, $430,000+, nearly $500,000 extra off our community at a time when we should be cutting our cloth, supporting all of our community and going that way. I just once again conclude by thanking the submitters for what they've submitted, and hopefully we listen to some of those excellent ideas that have been presented. Thank you.
Thanks, councillor. Any other councillor wish to speak? No. In that case, we have the recommendation before us. Now put it to a vote. All those in favour? It's carried 6-0. I'd like to thank all the submitters, verbal, written, and those that attended tonight. We appreciate it. Appreciate taking the time to show an interest in your community and your budget. And that concludes our special meeting for tonight. Thank you, councillors. I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.